Friday. And then Saturday, snow and blowing snow, maybe an inch or two of accumulation. Saturday's high 26, but winds up to 20 miles per hour. Here are the numbers right now. Wind from the southeast at 5. It's a gray sky with 31 degrees in both Racine and Kenosha. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:10, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2018. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information at jackanddrea.com. Jack and Drea, a proud supporter of WGTD's morning show. And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. This is a big day for WGTD and for the morning show because we are talking about one of the biggest stories to be a part of any of our lives, actually, here in southeastern Wisconsin, namely the development of Foxconn. And we have in our studios today three people who have been right in the thick of it, who have had their lives, I suspect, pretty much swallowed up by this thing called Foxconn. And I am so appreciative of them making time in very, very busy schedules to be part of the morning show today. We have in our studios today David DeGroot, who is the village president, that is the president of Mount Pleasant. We have Maureen Murphy, who is village administrator. And we have Claude Loyce, who is the Foxconn project director, contracted by the village of Mount Pleasant to help coordinate this massive undertaking, this project, which all of us know is very much underway. And it has been a remarkable process. In some ways, it feels like it's happened in an instant. And of course, not quite an instant, but it has been a rapid and wild ride in many, many respects. And in a lot of other ways, it has really unfolded with remarkable smoothness. I won't say ease, because this has been, of course, a challenging project as well in a lot of different ways. And of course, there are certain concerns that have been raised about Foxconn and the way in which it is going to change the face of southeastern Wisconsin. And we're going to explore as much of that as we possibly can in the next few minutes. So, David DeGroot, Maureen Murphy, Claude Loyce, I welcome all of you to the morning show.
Well, thank you, Greg. And on behalf of Claude and Maureen and myself, we're just delighted to be here and join you at WGTD.
Really happy to have you. I really, really appreciate that. David DeGroot, I did not realize until we were speaking right before the interview just the remarkable timeline that we're talking about in terms of when you became village president and when this thing called Foxconn first sort of fell into your lap. Explain to our listeners what I'm talking about.
Well, I think it stands fast track on its ear, because I've been involved in the village for a couple of terms as trustee. I was first elected in 2013 and reelected in 2015. And I challenged for the presidency in the spring of 2017. So It was April 2nd of 2017 where I become elected. By law, the first date that you're seated is the third Thursday of the month, which is the 18th of April. And literally within about a week, 10 days later, I'm sitting in the office of Racine County Economic Development Corp's Jenny Trick, and we're looking at a RFP from a then unnamed, unknown company, you know, which we would all find out sooner or later was Foxconn.
Hmm. So it was a heck of a way to be baptized into this new job, into this new position. Well, we're going to talk about those early days in just a moment. Maureen Murphy, you helped put this interview together, and I really appreciate that. You are village administrator. Explain to our listeners what that term means.
I am the, and thank you for having us today, Greg. I am the highest appointed official in the village, and the village board with our village president determines policy, and it's my job to implement that policy. So I'm the head of a government that consists of about 170 employees and roughly a $20 million general fund budget. So it's my job, as I said, to implement the policies that are adopted by the village board.
And I suspect that that takes you into a myriad of different directions and responsibilities.
It does. It's a great job. I've been in public service for about 30 years. And been the administrator for a couple of different communities, and this by far is the most fun challenge I've had. The police department, we have a wonderful police department with just a fabulous Citizens Academy that we encourage citizens to come and learn more about their police department and how it functions. Fabulous fire department, we've merged with the village of Sturtevant, and they do a great job through the South Shore Fire Department. Village engineer, our public works folks do a wonderful job of keeping the roads clear. That's one of the most important things we do if we have snow, when we have snow. Full service community development. We just are very lucky in the staff that we have at the village. That's really one of the attractions for me joining the staff was how competent the group of individuals are that implement the policies adopted by the village board.
Very good. You were brought aboard as village administrator in November of 2017. And remind me, at that point, had we heard the word Foxconn, and was this already a known reality for Mount Pleasant, or was that still to come?
It was. I've often said is I've had wonderfully challenging jobs, but you always get a little bored occasionally. And I knew coming here to the village of Mount Pleasant, I wouldn't be at all with Foxconn on the to-do list. And we had already, when I started in November of 2017, we already had Claude Lois on board. So I knew I had a project director who was going to assist every day. I wouldn't have taken this job without Claude. Hmm. With the amount of details that are in place and that need to get done on a day-to-day basis, it's absolutely essential that I have somebody of Claude's quality directing the Foxconn project.
And Claude Lois, I want to have you explain to our listeners what you have done, and your resume is quite impressive, including a stint as the mayor of Burlington, and you've served that community very ably in several capacities. You are a consultant engineer with Kapoor and Associates, and explain to our listeners what a firm like that does and some of the significant projects that your firm has been associated with over the years.
Thank you, Greg. Great to be here. Again, our firm, Kapoor & Associates, has been around for, I think, well over 40 years. We've done a number of different projects in the city of Milwaukee. The Zoo Interchange, we were, lead the project engineer on that project. The new Pfizer form, we did a number of work for with Gil Bain on that project as well. So Kapoor & Associates, and we've worked very closely with DOT on a number of DOT projects throughout the state of Wisconsin. And actually, we have projects in Illinois, Indiana, as well as Kentucky. So we're a well-diverse company. So what I brought to the company was something new. I'm not an engineer. So my background, as Maureen, stated, and you had stated, obviously mayor for the city of Burlington on the council for 8 years prior to that. So I bring the kind of the government side of it to Kapoor is what really my role was. I'm in my title there as director of new business for Kapoor. So here I was contracted from Kapoor and hired by the village of Mount Pleasant to be the project director for the Foxconn development. So my job really, I oversee all of the village standpoint procedures that need to get approved by, and just working with Foxconn, their team on a day-to-day basis, and as well as with the state. You know, we have meetings every week, all day long. We're in a meeting somewhere, and again, just keeping things coordinated and keeping things moving. Again, we are on, we've done a tremendous amount of things in a very, very short period of time. I mean, we broke ground in less than a year after we even knew who Foxconn was, which was actually pretty remarkable on its own. We've been a little busy.
To say the least. Well, thank you again to all three of you for making time in your schedules to be part of the morning show. I think we want to spend most of our time talking about the present and the future, but let's turn back the clock for just a little bit. David DeGroot, you just mentioned that you had been in office as village president scarcely 10 days when you first became aware of this exciting possibility, although the name of Foxconn was not yet attached to it. In the very beginning, what did you know? I mean, what was the proposal that was on the table?
Well, the numbers were stupefying. I mean, we've never seen anything like this before, and I thought that maybe that there was a misprint, that we were off by a couple of decimals, because at the time I think it was $6 billion of real estate and infrastructure build out, and at the time, you know, 10 million square feet, and the numbers just made no sense. I mean, in our village, I mean, we turn cartwheels if we have a 30,000 square foot business expansion, and so this was a situation where we were absolutely plowing new ground every step of the way. It was unprecedented.
Right. So at this point in time, this was still, in a sense, a project up for grabs. There were various entities who were interested in attracting this as yet unnamed project to their own ground, and Mount Pleasant was one of them?
Well, the state of Wisconsin was one of them, along with other states across the nation, and our area, because of some vacant land that we had, was one of those that would be in consideration, because we had the attraction of having some contiguous vacant land available for a project of the site and scope that that they were, you know, looking to do.
Right. So how much discussion was there within Mount Pleasant, for instance, the Board of Trustees, in terms of, is this a good idea for us? Or right from the beginning, was that just sort of a foregone conclusion that if we can get this, we need to get this?
Well, I think that there was a lot of buy-in straight out of the chute on this. It was seen as a way to arrest what had been decades of, frankly, losing. I mean, we've been losing jobs, we've been losing companies, we've been losing industries over the years, and then you start to lose talent. You call it the brain drain. And then you start to lose hope. And that's where a lot of southeastern Wisconsin was. And in one fell swoop, we thought that if we were able to swing for the fences and land this project, that we would have a reason to reverse the brain drain, give our kids and our grandkids a reason to stay home after they graduate instead of book out of here to where opportunity is. This was a ground floor opportunity for us to rewrite the face of southeast Wisconsin. And, you know, for that reason, we had all kinds of buy-in. But it's a scary ride.
Right. So what can you tell us about that whole period when there was still such a question about where this thing called Foxconn would eventually land? What was sort of the shape of those negotiations? What kind of things were being negotiated? And how were they being negotiated? By what means?
Well, what we had to do straight away is put together a team. It's not something that President DeGroot was doing with Foxconn. I mean, we had to, you know, look at all aspects of it and bring together our team very quickly. We knew that we had to acquire land. We knew that that there was engineering pre-work that had to be done, and there was all other aspects that had to get pulled together and and run, you know, all at the same time. You know, for our part, from day to day, our nose was so, you know, close to the grindstone, just trying to get the mileposts put into place. That, you know, the bigger picture, you just get so consumed with what has to get done today to keep us on track on this project, that it can get overwhelming. But we just stayed focused on the task that was at hand, and we were just, you know, happy to keep moving forward and getting the thing done.
Right. Remind me, when was it that the site was finally chosen, and then when was that announced to the public that Foxconn was coming to Mount Pleasant?
Well, I believe that the actual announcement was at the Gateway IMET and on October 4th of 2017. Mm-hmm. We had known a few weeks ahead of that by way of a handshake agreement that it was coming to Mount Pleasant.
And yet that's information you just couldn't share with anybody at that point.
No, all along we were under a confidentiality agreement, and, you know, there was really very little that we could put out. And so it did come as a surprise to some. But to those of us that were involved in the project, it was kind of the last piece falling into place of what had been a very hard job that was being done by a very talented team.
Mm. And part of your team, of course, is the man sitting next to you, Claude Lois, who was brought aboard in August of 2017. Just explain that choice and what a difference that made at that point in the process.
Well, we were familiar. Some of us were a little bit familiar with Claude because we were aware of his background as having a government experience, and he had actually retired out of Wisconsin Department of Revenue, so he had state experience, and he can tell you better. But part of his department's job was determining industrial assessments and, you know, how you value a industrial project for revenue purposes. So he had just retired out of that position, and we figured that he was going to get bored in retirement, and so we made him an offer to come to work for us because we knew that there are certain things that he can bring to the table.
Right, and things haven't been boring, have they?
So it is kind of funny because we got a little ridicule along the way that we were hiring a project manager for a project that we didn't have.
Mm. And, of course, now you do. So when you were brought aboard in August, how solid was this that Foxconn was at that point, was it essentially a done deal?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, again, when I was brought on board in August, contracted to a village from Caporn Associates, again, there was still a lot of work we had to do. And, again, we worked, you know, very closely, you know, with RCDC and Racine County, our partners in this, you know, kind of development project at this point in time, and the county still is our partner. But, no, we worked very diligently at that point in time to make sure we were able and successful to secure this project.
Right.
But at that point in time, no, it was not made. Mm. The decision was not made at that point in time. We were still battling to try and make sure that it did land here in the village of Mount Pleasant.
Right. When it comes to the development project, one question that I have is, how much discussion was there about exactly what the land should be? Or right from the start, was that pretty much a solid certainty that if Foxconn was going to come, it needed to land in this expanse of space exactly?
Yeah, and again, and maybe President Crew could answer this a little bit more, but prior to me getting here, obviously, you know, getting up to speed on the project, it expanded. You know, it started out with, you know, okay, we were looking for maybe 1,000 acres. Well, then it went to 1,500 acres, and then it went to, you know, 2,000, and obviously it ended up right now where we're just under 3,000 acres that they're looking for. So I know it has expanded, the project kept on getting bigger. But again, that's my knowledge of it at this point in time, and we ended up at currently, obviously, where we're at with TID 5, which is a total of about 4,000 acres, just under 4,000 acres, but it's part of a north area that's not part of the Foxconn development.
Right. And was that always pretty certain, or were there several different possibilities that were explored?
Well, throughout Racine County, there was a number of places in Caledonia that they initially looked at along with our spot. But as far as Mount Pleasant was concerned, if it was going to land in Mount Pleasant, it was going to be that acreage. That was the best, most strategic spot that we had with its proximity to the I-94 corridor, and it made sense. If it was going to come to Wisconsin, if it was going to come to Racine County, that's where it was going to land.
Right.
And it was part of their requirements as well. They were looking for this, this, and this. So we had to figure out, okay, where's the best location that we can accommodate what they're looking for as part of the RFP as well. So that's why that area was really set up for that project, or right, designated for that project, I should say.
Let's talk for a moment about this whole process by which this land was secured for Foxconn. And I'm probably not overstating it when I say that probably in some ways this has been the most difficult phase of this for you in terms. I mean it's involved some difficulty, some pain, some controversy, and so on. So first of all, maybe explain the logistics of how this kind of thing is done. I mean, the sort of state laws that are in place that safeguard the rights of landowners and the kind of guidelines within which you were working to try to secure this land for the development.
Well, and Greg, there are obviously crystal clear statutes for relocation benefits for any type of acquisition purchases that a municipality is looking to purchase. And again, most of the property that we were looking at, and most of the acquisition, quite frankly, was done through the DOT statutes for road acquisition. And because obviously all these roads are being widened and improved to bigger standards than they currently are today. So, we followed all of those procedures. And again, the village set on early on, even before that I was on board, this is how they wanted to do things. They wanted to make sure, excuse me, that we treated everybody fairly. We went, and they actually went over and above. I mean, typically when you do this, you just have to get a fair market value of that piece of property. Fair market value means to go out there and get the property appraised. So appraisal, and that's typically, what your offer is. The village went over and above that. I mean, the village went on early on. Again, I don't know where the decision was made, but it was a very, very wise decision, in my opinion, to offer, our residents, the 140% more. So really, which has never been done before, by the way, in the state of Wisconsin. And then, the raw farmland, a raw land period, the village has been out there, even with the options at $50,000 an acre. So they continued that through the whole process, which, again, I think has been, one of the reasons why I think we've been fairly successful in such a short period of time. We get it. I mean, listen, I understand we're asking people to move. We're asking people to sell their homes to the village. We know that's a very emotional situation. And from our standpoint, we put together the best team possible for relocation folks that met with these folks, every day, go through the process. Here's your benefits that are there for you. And again, we want to make sure we give you everything we possibly could that's allowable by the state statute. And we did that. So, again, is it hard sometimes? No question. I mean, I've talked to a number of residents that, I get it. It's your personal house. You've been in your house. You've lived there for 40 years. There's a lot of sentimental things that are there and emotions that are tied to those things. But, I think overall, well over 90%+ of the residents either came to us when the process was underway and they knew what the process was and offered their property up for us to purchase it via this process that the village put in place. So, it's a controversy. I get it. No question about that. Is it emotional? Absolutely it is. But, I think the village did a great job by getting ahead of the things and trying to do something, the best thing they possibly could for their residents. Right. And we did that.
So my understanding is from our preliminary discussion that all but just a small handful of properties have been secured. So just a small number of let's call them holdouts or whatever, but who where it's not quite finished yet.
Yeah, there are still a small amount. I mean, in the core area, of Area 1 that, we kind of focus on for the, the Foxconn development, all that land's been acquired. There are a few areas we're still dealing with, no question. And we're still in some form of negotiation with those folks at this point in time, which is all I can really say at this point.
Sure,
in time.
Understood. David DeGroot, I imagine that you would not ever want to have to relive some of those public meetings where this was hashed out and people were lashing out, understandably. Could you just say a quick word about what it was like to preside over something like that? I'm sure when you ran for village president, you never in your wildest dreams imagined that that was going to be part of the job.
Kind of caught a tiger by the tail. The emotions were running high. I mean, there was no doubt about that. And that was in part because, again, we were under a confidentiality agreement, and there was only so much that we could say at any given point in time. And so when you're faced with that situation, it becomes an information vacuum, and people will weigh in to that vacuum with whatever it is that they think. And since there's no other information to outweigh it, those kind of thoughts, become the narrative. And there was just so much misconception that way. It was frustrating, grinding my teeth, holding out and, biding time while when we were able to get the information out, then that made a lot of sense. And I think that folks, by and large, knowing what we were doing and why we were doing it, I think that most of our residents are very thrilled to have this opportunity in front of them.
Right. I want to talk for a moment about a concern that has been raised that I think you have taken very seriously, but I want to give you a chance to really kind of spell it out. And part of the way I'm framing this question, it has to do with the way you kind of framed this when you talked about this new project when you first learned of it that didn't even have the name Foxconn at that point attached to it, and namely the fact that it was going to just remake the face of southeastern Wisconsin, or I forget words to that effect, which I think you meant in a very positive way. Of course, the concern of some people is that this also could remake southeastern Wisconsin in some less than positive ways in terms of what used to be green open space becomes, something else. And I wonder if you could just say a word about how much you and your colleagues have thought about kind of that reality of how much development is the right amount of development versus something that changes this so we don't even recognize it in terms of green space and the environment around us and so on. How much has that kind of come up in the discussions, and how much do you kind of think about that even going on from here in terms of what is the best thing to do for Mount Pleasant and its citizens?
Well, I think that fear is always one of those things that filters in, because it's a fear of the unknown, and to a large extent, we're at the point now where, even though contract was $100 million for pushing dirt around. When you stop and think about it, $100 million is a lot of money for site preparation and grading and retention ponds and all that. But the way that I've been explaining it is, every step of the way, the company itself, Foxconn, wants to be a very, very good corporate citizen, and they've been very sensitive to what creates beauty and how to merge their plans into a beautiful campus. I mean, it's, again, I'd like to remind everybody, it's not just a TV factory that's going on here. It's what's called a science and technology park. And the science and technology park will draw employees with the STEM skills, the science, technology, engineering, and math skills. And, folks want to live and work and play in beautiful settings. And we, from everything that we've seen, the plans are such that there's still going to be plenty of green space. Everybody's lifestyle are still going to be enhanced with the quality enhancers that that people want, and live, work, and play in our community.
Right, Claude Loos, I wonder if you could speak to the specific point of wetland restoration, because I know this was a concern that was raised early on, and that in fact this Foxconn development addresses that concern in a really pretty remarkable way.
Yeah, actually, their requirement that they have is actually 2-to-1 mitigation, where typically it's just 1-to-1. So again, as President DeGruitt stated, You know, they are extremely concerned about the environment. And I don't know if you made it, Greg, to when they had the groundbreaking in June and the Opus building, they had a 3D model of their layout of this whole facility. You know, which, again, tremendous amount of green space, park area. They are very concerned about the environmental. And not only that, but, you know, back up a second. I mean, the village has got a wonderful code. We've got one of the stringent stormwater codes in the state of Wisconsin. We have, you know, a great overall development code for how much land has to be designated for parkland, how much land has to be set aside for stormwater, and all those requirements. And FACTA has to meet all of those. And they're, you know, at this point in time, yeah, they've only built, you know, one, you know, small building, a multi-purpose building, as we call it. But all the stuff that they have in their plans laid out, we go through all of those things, and all of those things are still held to the village requirement, if not the state's requirement, whichever one it is more rigid. So they've done all those things. I mean, stormwater ponds, when you look at the whole site where what we call the campus for just the factory, the fab, as they call it, I mean, you're talking roughly around 850 acres of land. I mean, there's over, there'll be what, when they're done, there's 150 acres of just stormwater ponds. I mean, just think about that for a minute. These are going to be some big ponds. And you can, if you haven't driven by the site in a while, you'll see some of the big ponds that, you know, are starting to be built already. Several of them have been built, maybe not completed yet. But so, again, the village is addressing all those things. We've worked all those things with the state. And, again, Foxconn has been a great partner. And listen, more than we're not asking them to do anything than we'd ask any other developer to do. They're doing that plus. So they've been very cooperative working with us from that standpoint. And this, and again, this is things they want to do. You know, just to elaborate on that just for a second, you know, we've heard all kinds of concerns about contamination from the factory or whatever it might be. So, you know, Foxconn understood that and understood it may be a concern for folks. So they announced last year they're going to do a zero discharge facility, which is, again, contain all of their own waste on site and address it themselves. So, again, nothing – I mean, not that we ever had an issue with that, because obviously we're working with State Water and Wastewater Utility, which is a great organization that obviously has their own requirements made by DNR standards. So, again, not that we were concerned about it, but our residents were concerned about it. So, again, and Foxconn got that message, heard it loud and clear, and said, you know what, yeah, let's go over and above and let's do our own. We'll provide our own waste facility on site to do our own waste, to make sure we're not – doing any type of contamination to Lake Michigan or anywhere else from that standpoint.
How, and if I could add in, Greg, there's been a lot of Dave is being very modest about what we've been doing in the village of Mount Pleasant. We have a lot of partners with this project. In my almost 30 years of doing public administration, what's been remarkable since I arrived in November of 2017 is the amount of partnerships that are going on behind the scenes. Mount Pleasant certainly is not in this alone. Racine County Economic Development Corporation with Jenny Trick at the helm has done a great job of preparing us all. We work very closely with the state of Wisconsin, with the former governor and now the new governor that's coming in, to plan for what's happening with the freeways. Dave and I, at least once a month, meet with our colleagues at the village of Sturtevant, the village of Caledonia, the city of Racine, of course. Remember how this came here. The city of Racine had the highest unemployment in the state of Wisconsin, needed something to really jumpstart the area because it was falling into disrepair. So we spend our time with our colleagues at the city of Racine and, of course, the county executive, Jonathan Delagrave. We meet regularly. We've been lucky that we've spent the last year and a half preparing ourselves for this monumental change, this transformational change that's happening. Johnson Foundation has also sponsored with our CEDC and Racine County, bringing in Reno. Reno had the Tesla factory that relocated and has tremendously changed what happened in Reno, Nevada. So we've looked at some of our, there's also in South Carolina experienced this kind of monumental change. So we've spent our time behind the scenes. Publicly, of course, we're doing the site prep and gathering all of the parcels of land that we need. But behind the scenes, we're really talking about what needs to happen with the infrastructure, the village borrowed $120 million to accommodate the sewer and water needs and bring sewer and water. We have a TID that the growth within the TID is going to pay for those costs so that this is cost neutral to the taxpayers. There's special assessments. The land acquisition costs are going to be charged back to Foxconn either through special assessments or upfront money that they've put on the table for us to do this land acquisition. So while it may appear that it was just Little Mount Pleasant, there's so many players behind the scenes that are assisting us and working with us as partners. And it's just a phenomenal project. Rarely have I had a chance to work with my colleagues as closely as I have here on this Foxconn project. It's really very rewarding. And the citizens, you help us communicate this very important thing that's going on. And you're the one that can help us get that word out about there's all kinds of partnerships going on behind the scenes that many of our citizens would be very proud of.
Right. What's it been like to communicate with Foxconn itself? What are they like? They obviously are a company kind of anchored in a different culture and so on. And what is their sort of way of doing things, and what have the interactions been like? I mean, directly with people from Foxconn.
And really, it's been good. I mean, they're a phenomenal company to work with. You know, part of our challenge, obviously, sometimes when they're not here, is the time of day that you are negotiating with them or talking to them, which is either 6 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night, you know, with the time change difference. But, I mean, working with their team of individuals has been really good. They are, again, really concerned about the environment, want to make sure that they're doing, you know, a quality product here. But, again, their challenge is, yeah, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this in the States. And build their own facility like this. They have some other partners that they work with, obviously, in the States, but nothing to this magnitude. So, again, just part of our challenge is, again, you know, making sure they understand everything, making sure how they understand the legalities of doing things this way and doing things that way. And, again, we've been working with them, you know, day-to-day to make sure that, you know, they understand the things and we're all doing the right things moving forward from them as well. I think they've kind of experienced or at least presented some of the other things they're looking to do or have already done. I mean, Innovation Center here in Racine, they've just purchased another building here in Racine.
Right.
They got a building in Green Bay. They have a building in Milwaukee. They got a building up in Eau Claire. So they're you know, not just focusing on Mount Pleasant, but they're also focusing on the state of Wisconsin, making sure the state of Wisconsin also is successful in this venture as well, not just the village and the county.
Right.
There was a learning curve that they had to follow as well, because up until now, they were always a business-to-business provider. So they were able to fly under the radar, and nobody knew what Foxconn was. In fact, you know, early on, our planner, Sam Schultz, had indicated to me that I think I know who this is. And I said, who? And he said, Foxconn. And I asked the same question everybody else did. What the heck is Foxconn?
Right.
With this United States initiative, of course, United States being their largest market, they've had to rethink how they do business and how they appear to the public as well.
Right.
And think about what Foxconn does. I mean, everybody with an Apple iPhone, that screen is made by Foxconn. So it's, you know, everybody in our automobiles, those screens that we look at every day, those are made by Foxconn. The technology equipment, the medical equipment, if we go and have an X-ray, those screens, those glass screens are made by Foxconn. This is the impact that Foxconn, it's the fourth largest technology company in the world, and they're going to be here with us, and they really are already touching our daily lives.
We
didn't know it. So, I mean, that's what's remarkable about this.
Right.
Think about Apple iPhone is the smartphone, the highest number of smartphones that are bought around the world are Apple iPhones, and Foxconn is the maker of those screens. That's the impact that this company has on our daily lives.
And what's interesting about what you're just describing is that also this is a company that has had a little bit of a checkered history, and I think the phrase learning curve for them is probably very apt, that they are trying to maybe learn from past mistakes and understand maybe better now than they once did what it means to do business here in the United States and what our expectations are versus some of the other places that they are in the world.
Well, the very reason why Foxconn has this zero discharge sewage plant that they're planning on building was because the chairman Terry Goh was very, very clear that he never wanted to have his name associated with any kind of a spill or accidental discharge.
Hmm. Claude Lewis, are you on the Foxconn site nearly every day? I mean, where those dump trucks are operating night and day?
I'm out there probably a couple of times a week. When you look at their site, there are a lot of other things. Obviously, the village is involved with its ready. I mean, our sewer and our water, you know, we're front doing all those insulations. There's a number of those projects going on right now. You have, ATC, American Transmission Company, they're building their substation. So there's a lot of traffic going on right now. Actually, slower down a little bit during this, the winter season here. But they are still hauling roughly about 1,000 loads of gravel there a day yet to the site.
Wow.
So to get the pads ready for spring.
Right. So one building has been constructed,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
So what is the next building to be built, and is that already underway?
Well, they've got the 3 million square foot pad is done for the next building that they were talking about. So, and again, they're all back right now. And again, obviously, we just went through our holiday season, and upcoming is the Chinese holiday season. Their New Year comes up in the first week of February. So the chairman meets with all of his teams from throughout the world for the next 2 weeks here, and then lay out the plan for next year and the year beyond a little bit. So that's what they're doing right now. But again, we fully expect them to start their construction here as soon as our Wisconsin weather permits, which was an issue for them to just understand our weather.
Yeah, right.
They're not used to winter.
Right.
Like this. So, the 3 million square foot pad, I talked to Gil Bain, and I've been actually out there and I visited the site. That pad is done. That pad's ready to go. So they're still hauling gravel in for the next pads that they'll start construction then in spring.
On site, has basically everything unfolded as expected? Have there been any unexpected surprises or snags or significant?
I mean, actually, we're ahead of schedule. I mean, if you go back to our development agreement that the village had with Foxconn, they weren't even supposed to start construction until this year. Hmm. So not only have we started construction, we broke ground. We've moved dirt. Again, on that 5 million yards of dirt that needed to move, I think somewhere around 3.5 or 4 million of those yards have already been moved. And then, again, 3 million square foot pad is ready to go. The multi-purpose building is already up and running. They'll have tenants starting in there with themselves here probably within the next week or two. So they're actually ahead of schedule. So what that is, and that means that we need to keep track with all the other utilities. So the sewer, the water, the gas, electric, cable, you name it. Everyone's out there now kind of working side by side, not only with the Foxconn, the village, and us, but also DOT. DOT starting the road projects. A number of the new box culverts have gone in. So, there's a lot of things going on out there currently.
Wow.
And will be for the next several years.
And one of the things we haven't even talked about yet are roads.
Yes.
How much have you been involved in the decisions about what to expand and how much things need to be expanded, for instance, interstates and the interchanges and so on?
Interstate, that's the state, obviously, but
right.
The local roads, so the local and county roads. So the village, working through RCDC, they did have a traffic analysis study done based upon, here are the numbers that we're looking at, what's this going to do for traffic volume? What's that going to increase by? So that's where all of the information came back with based upon that study is how wide these roads need to be. So, Braun, that example, which is right now just a village road, just a two-lane road, mm-hmm. Well, that'll go to 6 lanes.
Mm-hmm.
KR, which is currently just 2 lanes, will go to 6 lanes for a ways and then down to 4 lanes. Highway 11 will be increased to 6 lanes. Highway H and the frontage road, and it's been interesting, no question about that. But again, DOT has been a great partner with us from that standpoint and assisting us and overseeing those projects.
We're very fortunate that DOT took the lead in this because what you have is you've got village roads, you've got county roads, you've got state highways, you've got county line KR. Which is half in Kenosha and half in Racine, so you have those kinds of multi-jurisdictional issues.
Oh,
and so the the village, the county, and DOT all saw what was coming at us, and the DOT, fortunately, decided to take the lead on coordinating all of this, and so they have the jurisdiction over this right now. And when it's done, we'll get jurisdiction back, as it comes back to the county and the village.
Right. It's just staggering to think about all that has happened, and I think you're right. It's happened in a remarkably short amount of time. And considering the magnitude of the project, it's also remarkable that there hasn't been more in the way of snags and problems and reversals and so on. At least thus far, it's been surprisingly smooth sailing, although that doesn't mean it's been easy, and certainly not easy for any of you. And, of course, we haven't even brought in the whole piece about how this has exceptional impact on our local institutions of higher learning. A place like Gateway, President Brian Albrecht just walked by, and for an entity like Gateway or Parkside or Carthage and other schools for that matter, this is an enormous opportunity for them.
Well, I'd like to thank Gateway for taking the lead on as much as they've done. I mean, they've really grabbed the bull by the horns in terms of, you know, what needs to be done through the educational system to get people trained up and ready to face a new future.
Right. A very exciting future indeed. Speaking of future, Maureen Murphy, I know that one of the things that you are busy helping to implement is a new strategic plan for Mount Pleasant. Explain what this is about and the way you're going about trying to do this.
We it's been a while. We did a comprehensive plan a few years back. And now is the time that we've moved to phase two of Foxconn. We need to revisit our vision, our mission statement, and our strategic priorities, and get us ready for the next 5 years. So we've had a couple of open houses the last night and the night before, and we have one coming up. So if there's any of your listeners that are from the village of Mount Pleasant, I know you are, Greg.
I am.
If you're looking for something to do on Saturday between 1 and 4, please come to Village of Mount Pleasant Village Hall, 8811 Campus Drive, and join us. We're going to set up those strategic priorities so that the staff, the 170 or so village staff, the Village of Mount Pleasant Village Board of Trustees, and the citizens are all lining up. Give us clear direction on what we should be focusing on for the next 5 years, enhancing our public safety, making sure that our roads are travelable. If there's a compost site that you think needs to be open a couple of more hours, which we heard the other night, Now is your chance to weigh in and help us set those goals for the next 5 years. So please join us.
Fantastic. Say again the time and place for that on Saturday.
These are for Village of Mount Pleasant citizens. It's at Mount Pleasant Village Hall, 8811 Campus Drive, on Saturday, January 19th, from 1 until 4.
Very good. Maureen Murphy is Village Administrator for the Village of Mount Pleasant, and Dave DeGroot is the President of the Board of Trustees, and Claude Lewis is the Foxconn Village Project Director. And I am so deeply appreciative to all three of you for joining me today on the morning show to talk about this huge story, the biggest story of any of our lives, really. And I think you've answered a lot of important questions, and I hope that we'll have further conversations in the future as this development continues to take shape. If people have questions, is there a place on the website for Mount Pleasant where more information, maybe about Foxconn specifically, is available?
Yeah, actually, on our village website, we do have, and we try to post all the stuff that DOT is doing from traffic control and things like that. But we do have a link on our website for Foxconn. It's on the front page. And my address and my email stuff is on there as well. So they can.
And if folks are interested in more information, FoxconnRacineCounty.com.
Very
yes.
good.
That's their
Thank
website.
You again to all three of you for being part of the morning show. It was great to have you here.
Thank you.
Let's do this again.
I hope we will. Thank you. Tomorrow on the morning show, appropriately enough, a conversation about workaholics. I'm going to be talking to the author of the book called Hashtag Chilled, a book about letting go of your work, at least from time to time, and making sure that you enjoy life as well. So that will be an interesting conversation on tomorrow's morning show. We remind you that the morning show is archived on our website, wgtd.org. The time is exactly 8:59.